literature, which is a significant component, as I said, to Aboriginal title. So they made a decision as to what is called the content of Aboriginal title. First of all, it is held communally. That it means it cannot be held individually. B, Aboriginal title is subject to inherent limit. Therefore, the lands cannot be used in a manner that is in conflict with the nature of the attachment to the land, and this forms the basis of that title. C, Aboriginal people are free to use land, which is a subject of this title, in ways that they choose, and that they're not restricted to activities that they engaged in prior to contact with the Europeans. As they quoted, first of all, Aboriginal title, it contains within it a right to choose to what end a piece of land can be put. D, the time period that is important with respect to the establishment of Aboriginal title is when the Crown asserts sovereignty over the land which is the subject of the title. They also enunciated a test for the proof of Aboriginal title. Firstly, the land must be occupied prior to sovereignty. Two, if the present occupation is relied on as proof of occupation, there must be continuity between present and pre-sovereignty occupation. Three, sovereignty must have been exclusive and must be able to demonstrate that the title to the land is of cultural significance. This is as per the Van der Peet test. So it must be of cultural significance to the culture of the claimants. The court decided that they could not address the claim to self-government as to whether it had been established under Section 35, Subsection 1 of the Constitution Act of 1982. As a right to protect a right to self-government, because there were errors made by the trial judge, so this inhibited their ability to make that decision. The reasons were made on behalf of three judges, and it was delivered by Justice Lamer. Justice McLaughlin concurred with the decision, and there was disagreement by LaForest and another judge whose name I can't pronounce. Read the reasons used to arrive at the conclusion. But they all agree with Justice Lamer. And there was disagreement with respect to the methodology used to prove Aboriginal peoples have Aboriginal title. So Justice LaForest and the other judge argued that Aboriginal title is inalienable except to the Crown, and two, the Crown is subject to a fiduciary obligation to treat Aboriginal fairly. So in summary, the main point of the decision was that Aboriginal title must be held communally. It is inalienable except if it's to be sold to the Crown or to be surrendered to the Crown. I thought that Mo Hanan made an interesting point or question, because he was asking, why should Aboriginal people surrender land to the Crown in order to escape the limitations imposed on them, which have been created by the courts that they did not agree to? And to give a direct quotation by Justice Lamer, he indicated, if Aboriginal peoples wish to use their lands in a way that Aboriginal title does not permit, then they must surrender those lands and convert them into non-title lands to do so. So my question is, even though this is a constitutional law course, do you think the court process is the appropriate forum to resolve Aboriginal land claims? Secondly, have the courts adopted persuasive arguments or reasons in this case with respect to the formulation of Aboriginal title? Because in essence, they've outlined the structure for Aboriginal title, but they determined that based on the errors that were made by the trial judge, that they couldn't decide on self-government and that they also couldn't make any more substantive decision in terms of Aboriginal title. So do you think they went far enough to protect Aboriginal rights? That's it.
Well, thank you very much. Anybody want to tackle those very good questions that have been posed, Matricia? When the Delgamuukw decision came down, it was a real landmark decision and seemed to move forward Aboriginal treaty rights a tremendous amount. There's been some rethinking of that because of the issues that you raised. First of all, are the courts the right forum? Mm-hmm. Well, after this, it went back to court. Last time I checked, it was still being litigated. The Aboriginal peoples in British Columbia are getting pretty discouraged by the slowness of the whole process. They don't think the government is negotiating in good faith. And they're looking at maybe there are better ways of settling this outside of court.
Not only that, but it's expensive to mount a charter or challenge. Mm-hmm. And not only that, like in this case, they noted that some Aboriginal people that were entitled to be a part of this whole process, that they did not put their name onto the claim. So they weren't a part of the whole process. So it's like, is a judiciary, are judicial officers the appropriate people to determine such an important issue? Or should we left up to the legislative authority to determine what should constitute an Aboriginal right?
Yeah, or, well, that's an extremely important point, because some groups decided that they didn't trust the litigation process. Mm-hmm. Things turned out better than they thought it would, but they hadn't been part of it, so are they left out forever now because of that decision? Mm-hmm. Is it better to go another route? So I think this case raises more answers than questions.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, there was an excellent site that was put up by a group of people that was looking at the progress of land claims as a result of Dalgamuk, not just in British Columbia, but in other parts of Canada that were affected by this decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that site is still there, so if you're interested in pursuing it, there's a lot of information there. But generally speaking, the process was just very slow and very frustrating. The other thing is that it restricted the use of the lands, as you pointed out, to traditional uses. And many Aboriginals are not happy with that, because we're allowed to progress, right?
You yes.
Folks are allowed to get advanced degrees and change your culture. But no, if they want to use those lands, they have to remain as they were a couple of hundred years ago. It doesn't seem right. Seems to be an impediment to the natural growth that all societies have. And we still don't know what rights there are to Aboriginal government. Okay. Anyway, if you get involved in these processes, the key is good faith. So thank you very much, Tricia. So, we have a welcome break now with our presenter, but actually, we're going to go next door and join the other section. There'll be 50 of us all together. So you'll have a bigger audience and a bigger room. So maybe we can... Yes. So I gave them a fair warning, so all of us can move next door now.
Sure.